God's recipe for prosperity. God's recipe for prosperity. And by prosperity, we don't mean physical prosperity, but something better than physical prosperity, spiritual prosperity. The Bible speaks of spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1:3. So tonight we want to look at God's recipe for prosperity. And because the word prosperity starts with the letter what? P. The 7 points tonight in God's recipe for prosperity, just to help you remember, we're going to start with the letter P. And to see if you can guess what they are at times. But I'd like you to turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. And depending on how it goes tonight, I might, at the end of the message, ask one girl and one boy if they remember the 7 points of God's recipe for prosperity. It all starts with a P. If they do correctly, I might pull something out, a little prize I brought from America. But we'll just have to wait and see. Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to take you down to verse 7. Joshua 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Well, God blesses the reading of His Word, and we did read, didn't we, at the end of verse 8, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So we'll look at tonight, from God's perspective, what it means to be prosperous spiritually or to have good success in life. A lot of people want to have that. There's 7 points here on God's recipe for prosperity. Now, I'm going to read the first one and see if you can guess what word that starts with a P might work here. There's several verses here, but verse 6. Look at Joshua 1, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance their land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, God says, I made an oath. I swore to the fathers by an oath I would give them a land. You're going to get in. Now, when God says something like that, what could we call it that starts with a P? A promise is absolutely right. First thing Joshua understood, he understood God's promises. That there would be hardships, there would be obstacles, but God, who cannot lie, made a promise that they would get into the promised land, it's called, their inheritance. You know, for God's recipe for success, it's very important to know that God has made promises today and what those promises are. I mean, there's quite a few of them. But one of the best known ones is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, now here's the promise, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That if you believe in God's Son who was given for your sins, you will not perish. You won't go to hell, but you'll have everlasting life. Now, it's good to understand God's promises, that God is promising people something if they believe in Him. I think of another promise. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going away. But He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, 2 and 3. What a promise that if you're saved, He's coming back to take you home. Yes, there'll be problems here. It's just like Joshua was told that he would get in. God cannot lie. And so God has given us promises. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that tells us that. We'll kind of make this a sword drill. First one to get it, stand up and read it. 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. Thank you. Given unto us great and exceeding promises. Do you know the promises of God? Well, Joshua did. He knew what God was promising. There was a man, he's with the Lord now. I understand he used to come here, Elliot Van Ryan. He used to put it this way. Does anybody know what is the first promise in the Bible? What is the first promise in the Bible? Huh? What do you think? What do you think the first promise in the Bible is? What's that? Yeah, if you obey your mother and father, your days may be long on the earth. That's an early one. Ah, Genesis 3:15 about the serpent, huh, and the woman. That's a good guess, brother. But Brother Elliot used to take us to Titus 1:2, which says, in hope of eternal life, which God hath promised before the world began. So there's one that's not recorded first, but it happened first. That God has promised eternal life for people through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the promises of God. Well, that's the first P. That God has made promises. We need to know them and believe God. Now, the second thing here, if you'll go here to verse 7, Joshua 1, verse 7, says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I want you to focus on the words, all the law. Now, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law. Then right in the middle of verse 8, to do according to all that is written therein. So here we're speaking that Joshua is to go by a book, and of course a book is written. The book of the law, this book, all that's written in there. Now this is a tough one. I don't think you're going to get it. There is a word that starts with a P that describes something when it is written that we're to do in the Bible. It's in the Bible. When you're to do a rule that's written, there's a word in the Bible that starts with a P. Anybody know what it is? Anybody know what it is? Sword drill. Psalm 119, verse 4. Psalm 119, verse 4. Who's going to be first? Yeah? And what's the word? Precepts. You see, precepts means a written commandment. You go to the doctor and you get a prescription. That means he wrote something up. It means a rule that is written. And Joshua's told, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's the first man in the Bible that is told to base his life on a book. A book that is, of course, written and later called precepts, God's written instruction. And if Joshua wants to have good success and make his way prosperous, he's a man that's going to base his life not on what everybody else is saying, not what everybody else is doing on television or your friends and that. He's going to go by God's book, by God's precept. And if you want to have a good, successful life before God, you want to be a person of the book. Now, some might say, that's just the Old Testament, but we go by the Spirit. I'd like you just for a minute. Go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. You see, this is for the church too. Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus is writing to seven churches. Revelation 1. And look at verse 11. I'm going to read it this time. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Write in a book. And then to every church, he'll tell the angel, he'll say, now write, write. And then to every church, he'll say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, young people and brothers and sisters, going by the Spirit does not mean I just go by this voice I think I hear. It means the Spirit has written the Word of God. And we have a book called the New Testament. Not the commandments of Moses like Joshua, but the same idea. The commandments of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, write it in a book. So not only do you want to know the promises of God. Like Joshua, he was to be a man that the decisions he would make in his life, he could open the book. So I'll tell you why I'm going to do it. You want to be able to do that once you trust the Lord Jesus and the promises of God. That what the decisions you make in church, in your marriage, at the work, at school, that you can say, I'll tell you why I'm doing it. It's by the book. And so he went by the precepts of God, the promises of God, and the precepts of God. Written instruction. We still have it in the New Testament. But there's more in Joshua, the recipe for spiritual prosperity. I'd like you to go back to Joshua 1 and verse 7. I'm going to reread verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, the first part of the verse says, be strong and very courageous. What word starts with a P that tells us about being strong? That's right. Power. Power. You and I think of courageous, somebody strong and courageous. You might think of a football player. I mean, that big player, and he tackles somebody, or the quarterback that throws that ball 50 yards down, or the baseball player that slugs it 425 feet into the center field stands. Say, man, that guy's tough. That's the way we look at power. God looks at power a little different at courage. Here, it is not only power, but it's power to stay the course. Power to stay the course. What do you mean by that? Well, you have this book of the law that's supposed to govern his life. He's to go by the word of God, by the book. But look at the end of verse 7 again. You'll see what I mean. Number 3, power to stay the course. He says, you're not to turn from it to the right hand or to the left. You see, when you go to the right hand, it means to add things to the Bible that God didn't say. It's called legalism. It's called legalism. There's religions out there that do that. You'll see them doing all kinds of things. He said, where'd they get that? Well, somebody taught it to him, but it wasn't in the Bible. Oh, it happened in the Lord Jesus' day with a group called the Pharisees. In Matthew 15:8, he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is that, Lord Jesus? But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so they taught for teaching of God what men invented. He said, the whole worship's in vain. It might sound nice. You might feel great there. He says, it's not accepted with God. Because they added rules and tradition that God never had. That's called going to the right. That's called legalism, thinking these rules that man makes up will please God. But you know, he says, you don't want to go to the left either. Now, the Sadducees went to the left. That means we call that liberalism. They don't add to God's word. They take away from God's word. They say, well, I know it says that, but it really doesn't mean that. It's kind of just the spirit of it, you know. It doesn't mean it literally. It's just the big idea it means. The Sadducees in the Lord Jesus' day said there was no resurrection. Your body would never rise again. You know what the Lord Jesus said to them in Matthew 22? He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You really don't know what the Bible says, nor do you know the kind of power God really has. And he went on to prove that there is a resurrection. And he said, you know, when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, you know what God said to Moses? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Those men had been dead a long time. But he says, God's not the God of the dead, but the living. You see, God didn't say, I was the God. He even took the tense of Scripture. Not past tense, but present, I am. And God isn't the God of the dead. So it proves they're living. In other words, you don't know your Bible. It teaches literally that dead people live. So we need power to stay the course. When you don't become a liberal and say, well, I know the Bible says that, but it doesn't really mean that for today. And there's people that say that. Or, yes, we do other things that make us feel holy, and we think we can reach God. That's adding to it. That's legalism. You know, when you walk right down the middle, you're going to have people on the left who take away, people on the right who add to it. You know what's going to happen to people in the middle? You're going to get attacked from both sides. You're going to get attacked from both sides. You need power. You need the courage. I'll tell you, real courage with God, when you dare to go by the Bible. And how to get saved, and how to worship and function in church, and how to live your life. There'll be people that say it doesn't mean that. Other people say, but we have tradition. We do it this way. And you have the courage because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, I'm going to stay right down the middle. Huh? Then you'll have good success. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Power and courage to stay the course. Don't become a liberal. Don't become a legalist. Go by the book. Love the Lord and keep His commandments once you're saved. So we see promises and we see precept and we see power to stay the course. But look here, if you would, again at verse 8, number 4, recipe for success. Number 4 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's not to leave your mouth. In other words, to come out of your mouth. When God's words come out of our mouth, what do we call that with a P? We do call it something. In fact, it's in the Bible. What'd you say? Praise is good. That could be legitimate. What's that? Proclaim. That's absolutely right. I'm just thinking of a different word, but that's a synonym. But the technical Bible word, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. It is proclaiming. And sometimes when you preach, you praise. But we're to preach the word. In other words, just not keep it to ourselves. Say, well, I believe it. But we need to share the faith, as they were singing tonight. Huh? Each one reaches one. We need not to preach philosophy and psychology. Let the world do that. You have the living word of God, which can point to salvation through the Lord Jesus who died and rose again. Preach the word. Don't let it leave your mouth. What you believe, say, but make sure it's coming from the book. Preach the word. So number 4 is to preach it. But then, this might be a tougher one. Look at verse 8 again, the fifth ingredient of God's recipe for prosperity. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It's a synonym for the word meditate. Starts with a P. What do you think it is? Ponder. You're absolutely right. Very good. To ponder. Meditate means to think, to chew it over in your mind. Not just to gulp something down, but just like some foods you really chew and get the taste and break it down. It, mentally, you're to ponder, you're to think. Sword drill. 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. Thank you again. Meditate upon these things. Timothy was told in reading and doctrine and so on. You know, there's a word we have in our culture today, and the word is amuse, amusement. Now, I know we all need to relax at times. I relax myself at times, all right? But you know what the word amuse means? Anybody know what the word muse means? M-U-S-E, the word found in amusement, muse. What does muse mean? It means to think. Upon. When you muse on something, well, I'm thinking about it. Ah is a negative, and it means not to think. You know what amusement causes you to do? Not to think. It disengages your mind. Now, there's times we all need relaxing. But in our technological society, we have more things to amuse us. You know, DVDs, CDs, computers, whatever. I mean, a hit of a button, you can be entertained 24 hours a day. If you want to have good success, and I'm speaking to believers now, to be prosperous, you want to meditate on the Word of God. Know what it means. Pray. Think it over. Turn the amusement off at times. And engage your mind. Be renewed in your mind. And he tells Joshua, meditate thereon day and night. During the day, make time to think through. You read a verse, God, help me understand this. At nighttime, as you lay on your bed, sometimes you think of these things. You want to be used of God and be prosperous for God. Well, it's one thing just to memorize the word. It's another thing to ponder or to meditate upon it. Meditate on these things. Then thou shalt have good success. So the fifth recipe is, of course, to meditate or to ponder. But then also look at verse 8. You'll see number 6. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. What's a word with a P that means you do what is preached. Practice. Practice. Somebody say teach over here. Practice. All right. You practice what you learn. You just don't learn these things. Say, well, I know the Bible says observe to do. Then the Lord Jesus said, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you in Matthew 28:20. Sword drill. And I want somebody to beat her. Philippians 4:9. I mean, if you win, you win. But Philippians 4:9. Practice the word of God. Oh my God. Things that you've seen in me, Paul said, and heard, do. What you see Paul the apostle and other apostles teach you from the Lord Jesus in your life and in the church, just don't say, I believe it. Do it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Just don't be someone who knows it or preaches it. Be someone who walks the talk, as they say. You practice what is preached. So we've had promises and precepts and power to stay the course and things like that, and preaching and pondering and practice. But there's one more here. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You're not alone, Joshua. You're going to need courage. But I want to tell you, the Lord thy God is with you. Men and women that accomplished things for God, God was with them. Joseph and David and Paul, God was with them. When God promises that I am with you, what word starts with a P that we could call this? Presence. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. The presence of God. You know, that's just not for some famous Bible people. You know what the believer in the Lord Jesus, if you're saved tonight, you're told in Hebrews 13:5, the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. You see, living for God today is tough in this world. First, you need to be saved and understand the promises, that he promises there's wrath coming. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus, who died for your sins and rose again, the wrath of God will not come upon you, but you'll have everlasting life. John 5:24 says you're passed from death unto life. And then as you walk, you say, well, where do I get the strength to not be a legalist or a liberal and to meditate when there's so much to pull my mind away? I'll tell you, you'll get it from the presence of the Lord Jesus. I started a verse earlier tonight in Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And this verse helps me. I'm to teach people what the Lord commanded. Then he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He's with us. His presence there. And he can give you the strength so that you can make your way prosperous and have good success. So may God encourage you tonight in God's recipe for prosperity. It is different than the world's. And there's 7 things in these verses that God wants you and I to understand to have good spiritual success in the eyes of God. God's recipe for prosperity begins with the promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we close in prayer, I'm going to give the girls first. Any girl, name, you don't have to do it in order, but name the 7 recipe ingredients of success we studied in Joshua tonight that began with a P. Raise your hand if you want to try. I'm going to keep the props. We'll go to the guys. Yes, okay. Now, nice and loud. Would you mind standing up? Excellent. Just excellent. Excellent. Now, these are rare in America. Of course, you don't have in the Bahamas, but as an American $2 bill, they're kind of hard to get. Okay? I'm going to give the girls one more chance, or I'm going to go out and buy myself an ice cream tomorrow. All right. All right. Boys got that. Now, we're going to close in prayer. But we want to remember what we learned tonight. It's important to be spiritually successful before God. There's no other way to do it than the principles given to us tonight, all right? And remember, I'm going to close with a promise of God tonight. Never mind about success if you haven't believed the promises of God. How do you get saved? Well, how about this promise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. You trust God, and he'll save you, because he can't lie. And then you follow his principles, and you will have good success and make your way prosperous. Let's ask God to bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time with the young people and others, and thank thee for thy word. And pray that thy word will get into hearts tonight. We hear many philosophies of what we should do in life. We pray that not only will they trust the promises and trust thee and be saved in the Lord Jesus, but here these young people will have a desire to be people of the book. That is through the Spirit of God that lives in them once they're saved. That what the Spirit says through the Lord Jesus, they'll base their life on that, their gospel and their walk. And they'll know the book, and they'll ponder, and they'll know how to get away from amusement and more into the book and find that why they can really please thee. And so you'll work in hearts to be people of the book tonight. And this is where the light is given so we can overcome and live for thee. And thy presence is with us. We ask thy blessing on the assembly tonight, thanking thee for the Lord Jesus who's now on thy right hand, who died and rose again. And we commit this meeting in the name and for the Lord Jesus Christ and every young person here for his glory. Amen.